The visit of the Magi. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." Well, when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, may your holy word and the hunger of our hearts meet and lead us ever more deeply into your heart. Amen. Isn't one of the most popular images of Christmas that of the wise men traveling by camel through a starlit night? I've received the cards, you've sent those cards, right? The one star dominates the page, and here are the wise men on the crest of a hill overlooking Bethlehem. The journey is almost over. They only have a few hundred more yards to go. And there off in the distance is the town, and it's glimmering. You can see a little light shining up from Bethlehem where they will find the King of the Jews. And it's all over our nativity scenes too. So many of mine, I in fact have some nativity sets that are just Mary and Joseph, the baby, and three kings coming. It's a big deal, the wise men arriving. And our Christmas pageant this year also made a big deal of the wise men coming. We had the camel with one of the little kings riding on their back all the way down front here for our pageant. And while they are an important part of our Christmas story, technically, they don't arrive on the scene until later. Much later, in fact. We just read that the Magi found Mary and the child, not the infant, Mary and the child in a house, not in the manger. And Herod will order the slaughter of children aged 2 and younger in order to do away with this king. So it's really thought that Jesus may have been at least 1 year old and maybe close to 2 years old when the Magi arrived. It also might have taken them quite some time to get there from Persia. I'm glad that the church has suggested that the story of the wise men be told apart from the celebration of Christmas, when we focus on Jesus' birth, the choirs of angels and the shepherds. And we do that today, Epiphany, which is actually January 6th, yesterday. We count the 12 days of Christmas, and then we get Epiphany, the day we celebrate the wise men arriving at the Christ child, bearing their gifts, of course, of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So what strange gifts these are for a newborn or even a 2-year-old. Certainly not practical, right? Sensible gifts would have been food or diapers or maybe fresh clothes to change out from those swaddling cloths. Not a useless lump of gold and a couple bottles of perfumed oils. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. We typically understand these gifts to be symbols of who Jesus was and would become. Gold is a gift for a king. This child Jesus is and will be royal and kingly and will bring about a new realm, a new kingdom. Frankincense, which is used by the priests because he is God come to earth. And myrrh is used in the embalming of the dead, actually, which foreshadows his suffering and death as the savior of the world. To us, these might seem rather useless gifts. But what do you give a child who is actually the all-powerful God who controls the stars such that a particularly bright star will travel westward and stop over the place where Jesus and his parents are living? When the Lord of the universe reaches down from heaven and touches the earth and descends in love to come to us in flesh as one of us, a baby, to do battle with not just Herod, but all the evils of the world, what do you give? When you consider the greatness of the gift we have been given in Christ, the wonder of that, the majesty of that, what can we give in return? My little offering, my yearly pledge even, can seem so puny in comparison. Even the Magi with their precious gifts must have realized that their expensive presents were hardly adequate for this child, the God who has become human and now rests in his mother's arms. But maybe that's just the point. Consider how amazing it is that God, the creator of the universe, has decided to become a human being, beginning earthly life, like we all do, as a little child, to show us what true, real, unconditional love looks like. What can we give in return for that? God's gift to us is just too great, too wondrous to find a gift worthy of return. Perhaps then all we can do is, like those men from the East, thrust forward our ever so humble presence, and yet at the same time, the best we can offer, a bag of gold, fragrant oils, and perfumes of frankincense and myrrh. Maybe that's always the way it is with our gifts to God, the ones that we offer here in worship. Our praise, our music, the singing and the ringing, the words of our liturgy, the words we whisper in prayer, the envelopes we put in the offering plate. Just gold, frankincense, and myrrh, small gifts in comparison to what God has done for us in love. I think that all we ever can do is to offer God the best of what we have at the moment. This reminds me of that time when Jesus had grown into adulthood and a woman comes in, they're having a little dinner party, and she extravagantly wastes a whole bottle of really expensive perfume all over Jesus. And the disciples cry, "What a waste!" But Jesus says, "Leave her alone. She has done a beautiful thing, anointing me for my burial." Jesus is about to make a really extravagant gift on the cross, and so he accepts this woman's extravagant gift. She was expressing her love for Jesus in an unreserved and unrestrained way, and what she did was wasteful. There can be no doubt about that. But like the Magi, she gave the best of what she had. The story goes of an old professor who visited a past student of his whose first child had just been born. And he gave the parents a gift for the baby. It was a book wrapped in really fine paper. And imagine their surprise and their bewilderment upon unwrapping this gift. They discovered that it was a book, a very old, leather-bound copy of Shakespeare's works. What a strange gift for a baby. An old book written in archaic language, given to a baby who will not be able to read it for many years. And then they realized the gift was not the book. The gift was the giver. The old professor had given himself. He had given the child that thing that was most precious to himself, his own love of language and his admiration of Shakespeare. His gift was an expression of his deepest joy at the birth of this child, his hope for the future of this new human being. The best gifts that we can offer the Christ child are the gifts of ourself. The gold, frankincense, and myrrh of the Magi are trivial and quite useless for the Savior of the world. But as useless as these gifts are for God, they are a sign of the way the Magi gave of themselves. Right now in the church here, we are in a process of inviting you to serve on committees and ministries in the church. And while at first it can seem like a daunting job to find the right spots for the right people to do the work of the church, it really is quite a joy. And the calls and the emails to you are full of possibility because you all have gifts. God has made you good at many things and has given you passions and skills and interests for the purpose of serving Him. It's a small thing, really, to serve as a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, to shovel the walk or to make some coffee, to deliver some flowers or donate a winter coat. Small things, really. But it's when in the giving of these gifts that we consciously recognize that we are responding to God's love given in Jesus, that they grow from small and simple acts to take their place in God's great plan and endeavor to draw the whole world to Himself. In this season of new starts and starting over with the turn of the calendar page, I invite you to find a new and renewed way to make a gift of yourself to your Lord, who made more than a gift of Himself to all of us. How can you be a beacon of Christ's love where you work? Who in your life could use an extra dose of compassion or encouragement? Where can you share your unique talents in a new way? How can we give God not our second best, not simply what's good enough, but the best of what we have to offer? The Magi, having met the Christ child, went home by another road. I wonder how different our journeys and our journey together will be in 2018 for having done another lap around the Christian calendar and met Jesus yet again. I wonder what our gold, frankincense, and myrrh will look like this year. Whatever form they take, I pray that they would reflect God's great love in Christ in all ways. Amen.